In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Good morning, brothers and sisters, on this 22nd Sunday after Pentecost. And today we honor the Apostle James, who is so-called brother of the Lord. Actually, he technically was the stepbrother of the Lord. James, because he was the son of righteous Joseph, who was betrothed to the Virgin Mary, and Joseph was a widower and had adult children, of whom James was one of those. From his early years, James was a Nazarite, and that means a man especially dedicated to God. The Nazarites gave a vow to preserve virginity, abstain from meat and wine, and not to cut their hair. And in a way, their lives of holiness and purity blazed the trail for the Christian monastic life that would come later. St. James was chosen as the first bishop of Jerusalem and presided over the first apostolic council spoken of in the 15th chapter of the book of Acts. Having served as bishop for over 30 years and converted many Jews to the Christian faith, the Pharisees and scribes were very angry with him and very jealous of him, and they plotted to kill him. So they led him up to the roof of the great temple in Jerusalem, and which was, I think, several hundred feet high, and they demanded that he renounce Christ, and there was a great crowd scattered below. And instead of renouncing Christ, St. James proclaimed Christ to all, and so they threw him from that great height, and then they stoned him to death while he prayed for his enemies. So his glorious martyrdom took place in about the year 63 AD. Holy St. James, pray to God for us. Now today's parable about Lazarus and the rich man gives us a glimpse as to how our actions in this life affect our souls in the next life. And the Holy Fathers point out the significance of Lazarus being called by name in the parable, while the rich man's name is unknown to us. Jesus refers to him as the rich man, not John or Bob or George or anything. He's just the rich man. And they say this is because Lazarus was known by God due to his virtuous life, and his name was written in the book of life. But the rich man, due to his wickedness and any lack of virtue, was not found in the book of life. And how do we know that Lazarus was a virtuous man? St. Theophylact says, Lazarus suffered such terrible things, poverty and illness and all kinds of struggles. Did he then blaspheme? Did he revile the luxury of the rich man? Did he condemn his callousness? Did he accuse the divine providence? He did none of these things, even in thought. Rather, he bravely and wisely endured all. How do we know this? From the fact that the angels took him when he died. For if he had been a grumbler and a blasphemer, he would not have been deemed worthy of such an honor to be escorted by the angels. But what about the rich man? After all, wasn't he just enjoying life? I mean, what's so bad about that? Well, St. Gregory the Great says the rich man was not punished for taking away another's property, but for falling prey to evil after acquiring possessions. This was why he was handed over to the lower world. He was not cautious in his happiness. He used the gifts that he had acquired to feed his pride. He was ignorant of the essentials of kindness. He refused to make amends for his sins, even when the opportunity was available to him. So in other words, he wasn't punished for doing evil things in particular, but for not doing good. The Lord once said, "What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world but lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" And that's in Matthew chapter 16, verse 26. Well, the rich man in this parable very much resembles the miser Ebenezer Scrooge from the Charles Dickens book, A Christmas Carol. Now, Scrooge did not, in the book, did not kill anyone or commit, terribly and horrible deeds, but he neglected to do any good deeds or help anyone else around him. When visited by two men trying to collect some money to help the poor, Scrooge asks, "Are there no prisons? Are there no workhouses?" When the men reply that unfortunately there are, but that many can't go there and many would rather die, Scrooge replies, "If they would rather die, then they'd better do it and decrease the surplus population." So he was very heartless, very, cold and not lacking in compassion. And of course, we know that in the story, the Christmas Carol, Scrooge does repent and is visited by the three spirits. Now, this rich man, of course, was not visited by three spirits, but nevertheless, he was visited by Lazarus, whose presence at his gate offered him ample opportunity for him to exercise at least a little bit of charity and kindness. After all, God only gave the rich man one beggar at his gate. Not, he didn't give him 10,000 beggars or something overwhelming. He just gave him one beggar, and he didn't help him. Once again, this parable marks a sharp contrast between the moralism of the Old Testament and the life of virtue we are called to acquire in the New Testament. At the Last Supper, the Lord said to his disciples, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." That's in John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. So brothers and sisters, let us learn from the example of Lazarus that we must be patient and persevering when God permits us to suffer hardships. And let's learn from the rich man's mistakes by doing the opposite of what he did. When we have the opportunity to do good, let's not delay to support God's church, help others in need, and especially to love one another. I think it was St. John Cassian who said that when we're inspired to do a good work, we should jump on it. Because, you know, tomorrow, you might not have the same desire to do the good work. So it's better to take advantage. You know, they say, the Holy Fathers say, run while the fire is burning. You know, because if we put it off and we think, well, I'll do it some other time, well, then a lot of times we don't. O Lord Jesus Christ, we pray that you will send us your grace to strengthen us in our efforts to use all the gifts that you've given us to serve our holy church and our brothers and sisters, that we may be found worthy to enter your heavenly kingdom. Glory be to our God.